Previous session, we then looked at concluded looking at the four opponent powers, as well as various ways that one can cultivate them. The four opponent powers, the first one cultivates is that of the basis, where one goes for refuge and generates bodhicitta, and in dependence on that, one generates powerful regret for previously accumulated negativities. And that then is the power of regret. And in dependence on the strength of these two, naturally one will turn to the third opponent power, that of restraint, where we commit to no longer coming under the influence of our afflicted minds and performing these negativities. And then at that point, one engages in the power of the antidote, which is the accumulation of virtue in any method that one is most inclined towards. And then in the previous session, we looked at a number of different ways that this can be done. So whether it's through making offerings, doing prostration, such as through the confession, the 35 confession Buddhas practice, or whether it's through mantra recitation, such as Chenrezig or Vajrasattva, or whether it's through analytical and perhaps placement meditation, such as on topics of body, such as bodhicitta, emptiness, and the six perfections, or which other virtuous method one feels most inclined to.
ဒီကကြောင့်သာဆရာတွေဒုစရှင်နဲ့ခြေထားတိရမှာသူရှိခဲ့ရှိတယ်ဆရာတော့အဲ့ညီပြတုပ်ရှိကိုနေဒီကကြောင့်ဆင်းနဲ့မဆင်းတဲ့ဒီကကြောင့်လာတွေ့တောင်းနမြင့်နဲ့ဆော့ဆာဒီကကြောင့်ဆရာတိစီဝရဆော့ဆာဒီကကြောင့်ဆော့ဆာဆီတွေကြဝတယ်ညရန်တဘာတာထမကြီးခင်ဘောပါထွေရကိဒီဝီကျိုးကြဝတယ်ပါချစ်ဆာဆီတွေငါသူကြီးအဲချစ်ချေညီစီတို့ကိုမောင်းမောင်းမဆနူပချက်ချက်တားတယ်လေကြဝဆာဆီရော
Often when one hears teachings on the Buddha Dharma, one will hear an exaltation to engage in the accumulation of merit or the accumulation of virtue or positive karma and the purification of negativities, the purification of non-virtuous karma. So the meaning of accumulating virtue or merit or positive karma is that we accumulate ever stronger good qualities and virtuous imprints on our continuum, increasing the store of virtue. And the meaning of purification then is to eliminate previously accumulated non-virtue, previously accumulated negative karma, to weaken and eradicate this. And the practice of the four opponent powers, or the technique of purifying through the application of the four opponent powers, as we have been discussing in the preceding five sessions, is principally focused on how to eliminate previously accumulated non-virtue and refrain from repeating such harmful activities.
And Dene dele göbe nüve de sul yorasın koncusunda yore sebegi dene ki koncusunda yöbe yişebi yişebi samla çok çarca daya. Dene anadığı ki nüve de da su içine göbürelerine koncusunda göbüre sebe koncusunda yişebi yişe devadi yan nüve çar daya. Dene anı da mahompanı kasa dikba cekiyor notu reşe asın peki notu gün ha koyaki gün yibadi gün ha koyaki samla di Şükşerttaya. Dene mağabana tadi ciki meyse cennet nörtüre ciki mündü olsan peki samrodi şükşertta gomya direli olsun şükşerttaya. Dene ki tanıdı da o ne gomya de cicidü. Dene anıdı ki canşı sem gombayına semca tamşöründe sanca koma toş o sebe samrodi gomduyordu. Di samrodi ya nübeçerten korva. Nübeçerten kore. Dene aşin tanıdı deşi ta dojisim bir gomde çiğdü. Dojisim bala deba çiğdü. Çiğce anıdı ki Komce, anı asar yandı, anı dörüsün böyle ya, deva, deva de şükçer dayadan. Anı dil hone anı duge, din asar, asar yandı duge, yuva şükçer dayadı, anı duz çıkıyor. Çizden dine enza, anı duz çene, dikbe şa çoğsa cikcan çeyordu, dondala anı duz simle ya, sim yuva dayadı, samlu yuva dayadı. Çizden anı duz samlu di, nüve çer suyuyor, da geyi çoğu, çoğu sambadı. Ne? Nübe çerçer suygur var. Sizin adı gibi çoğu samladı gazi nübe çerçer suygur ne? Dağın adı nyema ki, mağdurlu dikbi ki, sahşebi, dikbi çoğu diye nübe de mahçun çoğu var. Ancak dikba cantan de dine çakır, nübe çoğun çoğu var.
This, in our time together in this retreat, you've been speaking about primarily or explicitly how to purify negativities. And we've looked at how to do so through the skillful technique of the application of the four opponent powers. But before we started to look at the four opponent powers, we spoke about what it means to purify. And this came down to changing our way of thinking, transforming our mind. So thinking back to our first two sessions, what we covered there, we focused on the need to transform our way of thinking. This is the meaning of Buddhist practice. Now if we take that understanding and we apply it to what we've covered subsequently in the four opponent powers, the first opponent power we cultivate through firstly reflecting on the sufferings of samsara, generating an overwhelming desire to be freed from all sufferings in samsara, or at the very least be freed from the possibility of rebirth in the suffering lower realms. And in dependence on that first part of the first opponent power, one generates the strong wish to be freed from suffering. One turns one's attention then to how to do so. Who has the ability to provide us with protection from suffering? And this, and there we enter into the meditation on refuge, seeing how the three jewels have the ability to provide us with protection, with the meaning, as we covered, that the generation of the Dharma jewel in our own continuum, the minds of the Buddha Dharma in our own continuum, it is this that provides protection from suffering. So this is what we looked at, the first antidote, the that of the base of basis. So what we see here in the cultivation of the first antidotal power is through reflecting on suffering, we generate a strong wish to be freed of suffering. And how to do so? We cultivate at the mind of refuge. Who can protect us? The three jewels. So this is an entirely mental process. We transforming our way of thinking. And in dependence then on cultivating that first opponent power, we then think about the causes that are keeping us bound in samsara, the causes that keep us experiencing unwanted suffering. And those are our previously accumulated negativities, and we generate regret for them. And we spoke about how to do so, the various steps in that meditation. This too is transforming, changing our way of thinking. Likewise, with independence on these two opponent powers, we naturally go to the third, the power of restraint, where we promise to no longer engage in such negativities. We commit to restraining our way of thinking. And once again, this is a mental activity, changing our way of thinking. And then when we come to the cultivation of the power of the antidote of our choice, whether it's turning to, towards Vajrasattva and with strong conviction in in Vajrasattva being indistinguishable in essence from all the lamas and buddhas, we then engage in the practice of Vajrasattva. Or if we go into analytical meditation such as generate bodhicitta, whichever of the antidotal powers we cultivate, this too is clearly a mental activity, an activity of transforming our way of thinking. So here, hopefully, it's now very clear that Buddhist practices, such as these four opponent powers, are about changing our way of thinking, transforming our minds. And through practices such as this, we are accumulating huge stores of virtue, of positive karma, of merit. And this, of course, is, as we saw in the second session, this is placed on our mental continuum. All this virtue there is accumulated. And as our virtuous ways of thinking strengthen and grow and multiply, the contrary, non-virtuous ways of thinking proportionately weaken. Here we often use the analogy of a scale. As the weight of virtue grows, this serves to weaken the strength and our habituation to non-virtue. So here, hopefully now it's clear, this whole process is mental. It's about changing our way of thinking. As we looked at in the second of these six sessions, the place where non-virtue is to be found is only on our mental continuum. It's not to be found anywhere else. The storehouse is on our mental continuum. Therefore, being mental, being found on our mental continuum, the way to eliminate non-virtue is to transform our continuum, to purify our minds, transform our way of thinking, transform our minds, purify and cleanse our minds. And this is done through strengthening our virtue, weakening our non-virtue, which means strengthening our habituation to virtuous ways of thinking, to wholesome minds, and weakening our habituation to non-virtuous ways of thinking, to unwholesome minds. And this is achieved through engaging in ever more cultivation of virtuous minds. In other words, through reflecting, meditating on virtuous minds. And as we become more inclined to virtue, more habituated to virtue, naturally, we become less inclined, less habituated to non-virtue. So as we are virtuous minds such as love and patience and compassion grow and strengthen and become more stable and more easily arise within us, the contrary non-virtuous minds such as anger and attachment, they proportionately weaken. The strength of our afflicted minds proportionately weaken to the strength of our virtuous minds proportionately growing. And Buddha Shakyamuni, he taught that the way to achieve liberation from suffering and enlightenment itself is through the transformation of our own mind. And how to do so? Hear teachings, reflect on them, meditate on them repeatedly over a sustained period. Hearing teachings on the same topics and new topics again and again, always reflecting on their meaning. And through the process of meditation, which can be translated equally as habituation or familiarization, we transform our way of thinking, become habituated to virtuous ways of thinking, become less and less and less inclined to non-virtuous or afflicted ways of thinking. And this, Buddha taught, is the certain, the unmistaken method to attain liberation from suffering and enlightenment itself. This morning, we looked at how one engages in the purification and practice, and now we're going to come to look at when one meditates, how does one actually purify negativities on one's continuum?
To understand then how the purification actually works, let's take an analogy. So if one is up early just before dawn, and outside, it's really dark, one can't see. But as the sun starts to rise, then shadows start to appear as the dawn, the light of dawn starts to fall. And one can start to make out shapes and get a feel for the environment that one is in. And as the sun continues to rise, one can start to see ever more clearly until the sunlight is bright and we can see with vivid clarity. So the rising of the sun in the morning is a process that's slow. It's not like the turning on of a light. It's slow and it happens in a relatively fixed time. And this we can then liken to our process of purification. When one engages in purification practice, it doesn't serve to immediately eradicate all afflictions and one transforms from the darkness of a deeply afflicted mind to a clear a mind of wisdom and love and compassion. Rather, it's a slow process. It's a process where one sequentially weakens our habituation to non-virtue whilst strengthening our habituation to virtue.
Powerful negative karma that we have accumulated in the past and that's abiding on our continuum. When that ripens, immense suffering will follow from this. But if we engage wholeheartedly in purification practice, then the purification practice will serve to weaken that negative karma. It will be very difficult for us beginners to eliminate it completely, especially as beginners and especially from just a few sessions. But it will serve to weaken that previously accumulated negative karma. And as we continue over time with our purification practice, should that karma that is now in the process of being weakened, should it ripen, its strength and its duration will be greatly reduced. And as we continue with our purification practice over a sustained period, we'll eventually come to a point where that previously accumulated negative karma, powerful negative karma, whilst not completely eradicated, has been weakened to such a degree that it is highly unlikely it will ever ripen. So this is how the process of purification works. Through engaging in it repeatedly over a sustained period, one weakens further, previously accumulated negative karma, eventually to the point where it is so weak, it is very unlikely it will ripen. It's very unlikely we'll experience any suffering effect from it. Powerful negative karmas, they can ripen in a way that one experiences that suffering result for an extensive period of time. But it's through this process of purification that the strength of that negative karma is weakened. And therefore,
should it come to ripen, instead of, for example, leading to severe suffering being experienced for, say, a month, then whilst one will suffer, and perhaps still severely, but it would only be for a few days. So in this way, we see that it, through the weakening of previously accumulated negative karma, either or both the strength and the duration of those negative imprints are weakened.
Gabriel yang juga dengan ini dengan nyong gaya, ini mesti dengan nyong gaya rujuk tiba sahaja benda, mana juga ni betul sih kan itu usaha yang juga bela, ane kanzam cili ya, ane mana tu cetel ya, ane koru sih tu es naji, dengan cili taji, ane cinta dengan nyong gaya, kor nawa zampi dah, desi dengan dia, dah jebu dia mana juga cetel ya, kor zamna, kor tu es nawa zampi. 다선시
For beginners such as ourselves, the way that we can come to eliminate previously accumulated negative karma is, again, let's say it's a very powerful negative imprint. We applying ourselves to our purification practice repeatedly over a sustained period, utilizing the four opponent powers, weakening our store of non-virtue, so that its strength and its duration, should it ripen, its strength and its duration will be greatly weakened. Then, let's say this previously accumulated powerful negative imprint, should it ripen, it will ripen perhaps in just a minor discomfort, such as a headache, or perhaps an illness. And here, we are now experiencing the ripening effect of the severe previously accumulated negative deed. But because of our practice of purification, it has been so weakened that the way we experience it is incomparable to the suffering that would have otherwise followed. And this is the case when people who have been applying themselves to practice diligently and accumulating a lot of virtue as well as purifying, then the store of negative karma on their continuum is weakening. And when it does ripen, instead of ripening in a way that would bring suffering that to us in this life would be unimaginable, it ripens in a way that would perhaps experience a disease or an illness or perhaps just some pain and discomfort. And this is how we can then eradicate. This is how a previously accumulated non-virtue can be eradicated. Having weakened it, it ripens and is eradicated, but the suffering that is experienced is incomparably less.
And metade da joga campurwa chuma ene gilima da campurwa ondi na chere ngaro gyule dibo ye baina ngaro juge geju dubje dejinim botto chukone samdan geju dubye di kade ngaro kunwa chanje sendan jemro da kunwa chu chewa da dege dubye kaso ana ngaro juge beje chewa jene dubye ina ani gomba ina ngaro juge dibadi daheliya joga da tubore ande mudu je え、にめちりゃべ、別所を置いてて、あんにめかじって、まじしゃしゃね、あんじ、え、じばれ。ちら、よま。じゃ、もじじじべね。てねこ、え、別所陳部とね、この話で、じゃ、じゅせんだ。てねこね、べ、けじょとちんぶとね、別所陳部じゃ。もじじじべね、にばでたやれれらじょはだとこるわ。じゃ、で、だけりげれじね、にばしゃらめてんで、じゃ、じゃべな、んたやれれ、ですかれか、ぎゅりがここるわ。
ディネザダガジェレディバディダイアラジョアタトゥヤタンアネチギチャサンダトゥギュネドマニョモゴエディバダヤディソソソニャムネジェラジャリゴレソソギニャムネジェゲジョルディガジェシュチェワタンギュニヨワタンディネコバイナアネディヨハネディバディダイアラヤレラワタンジョアタトゥゴレタンアジョゲズドゥビアディニバシェラメディゲネテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテテ
Jebena, and Gabriel Divara Sadin Jebena, Casole Divataya, and Jogota Tugo Marva. Says that Jenny, that Divat Jogota, Dandala Divat Jogota, Mada Sadding around to Villa, so give you some of the Jacheta, Nubucha, the Mutis, your Contuvena, not Divataya, Lela, Joachim, or it, I do not do.
An analogy which explains how purification works and how we should apply ourselves is if we think of our stove at home. If we have a pot on there and we're going to boil some water in the pot, so the goal is to bring this cold water to the boil. So in order to do so, we need to turn the flame on the stove, and in dependence on several factors, such as the strength of the heat or the strength of the flame, the length of time, the duration that we leave the flame burning, as well as how much water is in the pot. Independent on these three factors, the water in the pot will either boil quickly or won't boil at all, and maybe only become slightly lukewarm. So there are those three factors there, and independence on those three factors, a varying result will come. And it's the same with our purification practice. If to the extent that we put great strength into our practice, so each session of purification practice, for example, if we put great strength in it, great strength meaning our mind is concentrated, is determined. The four opponent powers, in particular that of the basis and that of regret, are generated in a powerful manner so that they are sustained through the others of restraint and antidote. Then it's like we can liken this to a powerful flame, a large flame being lit under the pot. Then secondly, if we engage in practice repeatedly over a sustained period, then the combination of practice done with great vigor, with determination, as well as repeatedly, can be likened to a powerful flame under the pot, remaining lit. And here then, we will be able to, here when we practice, when we're doing so repeatedly, and especially when we combine it with a strong determination, the purification process will be so much more effective. And then in terms of the amount of water in the pot, this of course also makes a difference to how quickly the water will boil. We can liken that here to the effectiveness we are, how effective we are in transforming our behavior. Whether we stop adding water to the pot, in other words, we turn away from non-virtue. A combination then of purifying what has been accumulated and ceasing the further accumulation of non-virtue. So it's just like if the three factors are boiling a pot come together, not too much water, a powerful flame that is left on until the water is boiled. Likewise, if we engage in our practice with genuine determination, so with a mind that is focused, as well as doing so repeatedly over a sustained period, and ensuring that we are diligent, not just in the meditation session, not just when engaged in an overtly a religious practice, but at all times, transformation will come about very quickly. Here, what we need to do is engage in practice repeatedly over a sustained period, rather than when the mood takes us. Similarly, when we do engage in practice, do so with determination, with vigor, not guard against a mere recitation of words. And then thirdly, ensure that our practice is not just left on the cushion or in the gampa, but is something that we carry throughout our day. The outcome of that meditation session, we keep fresh in our mind, ensuring we don't allow our mind to come under the influence of the afflictions, but rather stay under the influence of virtuous minds. When one's engaging in a continuous practice of purification, one's mind will start to transform. So there are several signs of this, and some of those signs may appear in our dreams. So those that one may experience are where one's from one's body, from one's body, one expels a repulsive liquid, such as one vomits in the dream. Or one is in an environment with bright light, such as bright sunshine or bright moonlight. Or thirdly, one is involved in physical conflict, one fights and one defeats someone or something that would bring great harm. So here one wins and defeats what would have otherwise brought harm. Or then another illustration that one can experience in a dream is receiving teachings, engaging in the receiving of Dharma teachings. So these are some of the signs that one can experience in a dream, and they are signs that one's purification practice is leading to a transformation of our way of thinking.
Nilam Chidana, Nilam be Pesia, the meeting by this, and Deba, meeting be Pelishig or what? Says I don't want to Diva Dinig Champi Kabla, Anne Tassin Nilam Nalia, Dinashin Tassin Chubaina, Sosu and Saman, Otanga Diva Changu, Stangi Diva Tassos, Tagu Sempig, Yang Majakia, that in Yangayor, Sita Deso, and Dustiness at Nilam Toa and Oda, Nilam be Pedi, meeting be Pedi, Jizade, meeting by Nilam Gi, Nangarzu. rāshīṃ mātū, tēmā mātū vārē, tēmā yō mārēs, kārēsē mīlēm bē nāshī rēs, mīlēm bē chāshī rēs, mīlēm bē bē rē, chēsā, chēsā tēnē sāmbāshī ngājē kī, tīk mārēs, mē kī, ōdā ngājē kī yō mārēs, chēsā, chīngā pēlē yā, ngā tū tēnē chēsā, mīlēm tā, ōdā dībā tā, tā rā ngā dībā tā, sō sū bē, chē ngājē kī yā, chēsā, chēnā, yā dī gā lē, nēmbā rē, chēsā, dībā tī, nēmbā lē, mū rē, chēsā, kēshū chū bē tī, yā wū mē bā chā rū kō rē, nī mē sūyā kī nyā ngā yō, chēsā tēnē kī ngājē kī yā nyā ngā yō, chēsā tēnē yā Milan bit of meeting be better, Chesa, then it's a magic here, Mares, Tikio Mares.
And also, though, needs to be said here, though, that whilst these are signs of purification that one may experience in one's dreams, dreams are not reliable. They are not reliable. Just because one dreams of bright sunshine or moonlight, for example, it doesn't mean that this is definitely a sign of purification. It may well be, but this is not certain. And the second point to make with dreams, in particular in this context of potential signs of purification, is when one has such a dream, be aware of pride arising. There is the danger that when one wakes up in the morning and thinks, oh, fantastic, I'm doing so well, pride may well arise. So here, don't grasp at the meaning of the dreams. Think to yourself, well, this dream appears to be auspicious. Fantastic. Let me continue with my purification practice. But don't grasp at it. Oh, this is definitely a great sign. Let me go and tell everyone. The purpose of the Buddha Dharma is not to generate afflicted minds. But rather, this, of course, is an obstacle. So should one experience such signs? Great. But don't grasp at it. Remembering, dreams are not certain.
なんでね、あの、時計、時計茶屋が、ニャンネンチェ、コムチャヤで、そそってね、なわらし、シミラムなれてね、みそね、てね、あてね、ちょっとだ、そそがてね、トンソシャで、そそぽらけ、あげやちね、てね、みちゃさんでやし、おだまてね、にみにいらんてね、トンソだ、ちょっとだ、さ、ちゃさんの日にどころだ、おで、そでね、チェベね、そそ気象やげとかね、ぬろれ。てね、てそでね、チェギョマレジレ。
Whilst it may be the done thing in society, but when one experiences something quite extraordinary and you're excited within yourself to share this quite widely, this is not what we should be doing as Dharma practitioners. Should we see or should we have auspicious signs? And we can take joy in this and use it as determination to continue in our practice. But there's no need to share this with others. There's no need to respond in a way that may be a reflection on pride that has arisen within us. The danger that one places oneself in here is even if one checks and says, oh, there's not pride, I'm really excited, and you go and tell people about it, then your friends may well praise you in return and say, wow, from my practice, I haven't received anything like this, any signs like this, this is truly amazing, and they praise you. And there's a point where pride may well arise, and you start to think of yourself as a little bit special. And here what has happened is that through one's great endeavors, one is purifying one's mind. But now with pride arising, pride being an affliction, one has ended up polluting one's mind further. So therefore, one needs to guard ourselves with care. So we've spoken about a number of points in our time together, looking at purification, what's meant by purification, how to do so, and are the signs of being successful.
Mm-hmm. dēn dī lā kōgāp rāwā, tā dī rī ngā mīlī tōp, dī nē kī chūyé chī bī kōgāp rāwā, tā dī bī shātāng, nē sō hāu kōsā, dī nē sā, tā dī bī shātāng, dī shā kūdū kūsā mī tē, tā dī rī ngā dī nē kī shā mā tō bā yī nā, tā nē ngā dō mī dā wā sē dī, gī dī chī ngē bā yō mā rē sī, chē tā ngā dō mī dā wā rē sī, tā gī dā ngā dō dī yā, shī yē kī gī dā jī māng kū chē yōng kū rē sī, tā jōng wā, chī jōng wā dā nā ngī, nā jōng wī chū bā dā, dī nē tō nē, shī yē lē ngī, gī dī chī ngē bā sī yō mā rē, chē tā dī nē yīn sā, tā ngā lō jē mā dī wān pā, jī kī bā shā yī dī chī kī yī, nā jī dā wā khā shē chī yī, jī chī kī chē, lō nī sūm chē lē yā, nā ngā dī lē gā dā chā rā chē, nā ngā dī dā dī lē gā dō dī chā rā sō nā dī ngā, Nyenpa toshu kwenye tibu chaya, shaya na jangyik jangyin samche. Tu samtama ina, ne gedi shingyeba yo maare. An jene zang, an gyorong lega chaya para je, tibu chaya mara para dele ngadu shiksongba ina, tene ngadu, meni ngangso la geji dunga nyungu chakuwa re. Tene zang, ta, tene ge gedi shingyeba yo maare, je zang, chiwa mitakwa se de, gedi leha go yo maare, tene zang, ta, dering nyi ne, koka predu ne, an ngay, Tibati Shayana Kotumji Shagi Sembe Nyimbo Toshi Samdaji Tibu Shagi Sembe Odu Chana Samdaji Ma Tuke Tibu Shagoya Di Gichimura Yajigura Deneke Chiwa Mitaba Samdaba Inna Tangazu Tibu Shaya Ki Nyamnen Chaya Dila Gyoku Chaya Ki Gosum Gwarda Gosum Gwarda Chiwa Mita Samadun Jaman Jamaata Di Chan Di Chaya Wasamda Yun Ringu Laro Gwarda Dilhaba Inna Dibara Dila Jaya Koka Marana Yonchimura Dirin de Panga to go to Jesuana, Mahobana Kazu Gunu Havane, Joyo, as a departed Yamneche, or the Chapsan, not the Joyo Marwa.
Now, then, let's talk about how to embark on this process of actually engaging. In purification practice. We've spoken about how to do so. So let's talk about how we should be thinking at this point. All of us have achieved a human rebirth, not just any old human rebirth, but a rebirth that is precious in that it's marked with the 18 qualities. And having this precious human rebirth, we have also have the opportunity to receive teachings. We have the time to receive teachings. We have the time to meditate on these teachings. This is truly rare and precious. We have knowledge, some knowledge of the Buddha Dharma. We have a wish to receive teachings and to reflect on them. These have come about in dependence on causes we have accumulated with great effort in the past. And now we are experiencing the results of those efforts. But we shouldn't leave it at this. We now need to turn our attention to impermanence, in particular the impermanence of this opportunity, the impermanence of this life. There are so many causes that will bring this opportunity to practice the Buddha Dharma to an end, as well as the opportunity of this life that we've achieved, the opportunities that can be achieved in this life to be brought to an end. This is our final teaching session, the opportunity to hear these teachings. Impermanent, it's coming to an end. Our life too is growing ever shorter. And in fact, there are so many causes that can bring our life to an abrupt end. Or even, we may live out our life to its fullest lifespan, to the extent of our lifespan, but there may not be very much of that left. We have no idea. This is a key point to reflect. Our opportunities within this life to engage in virtue and spiritual transformation are impermanent. This life itself is impermanent. We have to reflect on this because without doing so, we continue to be deceived by procrastination, by the laziness of procrastination. We continue to be deceived by the laziness that is the engagement in an abundance of worldly activities. So we need to guard ourselves against thinking, I need to engage in purification practice, but I don't have time. I'll wait until the kids go back to school. I'll wait until my work projects are finished and I have more time, etc. Because like this, life's events fall on us one after the other. We know this from our experience. So therefore, we have to reevaluate how we utilize the 24 hours in each day and see what is important, what has to be done, and what actually we don't really need to do. Because the reality is, we may have many years ahead of us. We may, but on the other hand, we may think we have many years ahead of us, but just have some months, some weeks. We don't know when our next life will come, but at one point it will be just a breath away. And when that final breath is, remains completely unknown to us. It's reflecting on the impermanence of our opportunities to practice Dharma, as well as the impermanence of this life, that turns us to turns our mind to reevaluate our priorities. And through restructuring how we spend our time, we then will suddenly find we can engage in meditation, and not only engage in hearing teachings, reflecting and meditating on them repeatedly over a sustained period, but doing so with vigor, knowing that each session may be our last. We may even not complete it. So whatever I do, let me do it well. And in the periods between our meditation, we'll know that we may not even have another session because our life could end. So therefore we need to guard our minds, no matter what we are doing. So this is of crucial importance. This is how we transform our lives. And if we are fortunate and we have a long expanse of time ahead of us in this life, as well as good health, such great benefit will come from this meditation. Or if our life is nearing its end, this meditation will ensure that we don't waste a moment of what remains. Therefore, it's my sincerest hope that all of you take whatever inspiration has arisen in this retreat, in this time together, and include this purification practice in your daily meditation. Whether you do it in the morning as part of cultivating your motivation for the day, or in the evening after your busy day, you sit down quietly and engage in this practice. Whatever is suitable, most suitable for your circumstances, it's my hope that you build on the meditations that you've done in this retreat and continue to engage in them day after day after day, gaining ever greater familiarity with minds of virtue, weakening minds of non-virtue.
That Nazuke Mili net Yahoo, then you give me little much sad Saturday, Chesa. The Nazu Chen Yamlencia, Dipong Kiru Chialia, Din Yahoo delay. Dineza, that Nazuke, then you give me little much or Taranjing out the Milu Much and Top Terry, Chesa, Dinegi, and it to Tungin Tone, Jigger, Ganga, Disemedic and Chitacher of Chile. Dinazuke Ombo Chasa, somewhat a Chatuore. Dineza, that Nazu Chi shaking. Chi, Yoba, Chesan, Yu, Chi, Yamaji, Chi, Yedibari, Chi, Yedibari, Chi, Shaking, and then Lama, Yedikacha, Chesan, Zulia, then Jim, Miller, Mucha, Tunya, Chesan, Tanya, 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 Chesan, 집에 진배 치고 채고래. 안 제대로야 소주게 온보 창화당 이제 되니기 고 지고 라와디야. 안 수비냐 매 채고래. 안 다들 하나 주기 최제야래 최래 되녀여 봐 최치리 주고 라와디. 대제왕만 가지고 전주기 최 최래 전주 집에 전주기 냠내기 제고 채고래. 다들 하나 주기 안 지금 라마 이제 라마 전주 최슈 dini kukubrawa di jewa ngama malam tabi ki tibule da ngana zuki chisa jewa ngama nga jikna lama da ji lama zini chushir kukubrawa shuwa sebi ki malam tabi ki tibule dini dati ngana zui sete liya duz zini denji milyujimu shasang sangja pa di chagurwa chisa da ngana zui dini deli ya nyamnya ka ngutubdu jewa di jechimu shu chagurwa ina da ngana zui nyamnya jine dini deli ya ngana zui jachun badang ngana zui lam nyamnya top tukuri besi ne That That in the Kutukuadi, Pesuchim, Jehuadi, Gachimuchawale.
Amongst all the varying rebirths that are possible, we've all attained a human rebirth that is precious. It's nothing more superior than this for spiritual transformation. We truly are in a remarkably fortunate circumstance. And moreover, not only have we achieved a human rebirth that is precious, we have good material conditions around us, and more than just the obvious material conditions, we have all the conditions that we require to spiritually develop. The Buddha Dharma exists still in the world. We have companions who are also interested in the Buddha Dharma and encourage us in our spiritual development. We have met spiritual teachers and are under their care. And physically, we have our sense faculties are complete, which means we can hear teachings, we can read books, we have sufficient mental capacity that we can understand the teachings, we can meditate effectively on them. And all of this has come about independent on our endeavors that we have made in the past. In our past lives, we accumulated all these causes whose result we are experiencing in this very life. That we are born as a human, and that we are born as a human, is due to in our past lives having practiced ethical restraint well, in terms of our physical activities, our verbal activities, we were restrained, we were ethical, as was our way of thinking, and this is the primary cause that leads to a rebirth as a human being. Moreover. In that we have favorable circumstances here. This has all been achieved due to our karma we accumulated in the past through practicing generosity. That we have our sense powers complete, sense faculties complete, so we can hear teachings, read, and reflect well, has come about in dependence on our practice of patience, as have our harmonious relationships with others come about in this way. And that we have an interest in the Buddha Dharma, and not only an interest in Buddha Dharma, but inclined to virtue, is due to our practice of joyous perseverance in the past. And similarly, that we have met a Mahayana teacher as well as come under their care, and we have an interest in the Dharma, is due to our prayers in the past, not to be separated from our spiritual teachers, to remain under their care and guidance from life to life. So this rebirth of great fortune that we have achieved has come about in dependence on our endeavors. So this is good to reflect on, in that it leads to us having great strength of mind, that we've done this in the past, and therefore we know we can continue to do so. Because in this life, while we have the ideal basis to achieve liberation from suffering, to become a foe destroyer, an arhat, this is difficult to do in this one life. However, we know that we can achieve the causes that will lead to ascertaining good rebirths in the future, and thereby have the ideal conditions to continue our spiritual progression, where it will be ever easier to attain liberation from suffering. So therefore, we commit to cultivating these same causes that we have done in the past, commit to cultivating them in what remains of this life, so that our spiritual progression, our skill and ability to be of ever greater benefit to others, grows from lifetime to lifetime. The causes that we have accumulated in the past that have led to us having the result that we are enjoying in this life are the cultivation of ethical restraint, the mind of generosity, that of patience, that of choice, perseverance, and then prayer. These are the five causes that have led to this rebirth that we've achieved now. And therefore, these we need to continue to accumulate so that we can continue our spiritual development life to life. And if we add to these four a concentration meditation, either where we try and develop single-pointed concentration, or, as was mentioned previously, when we're engaging in other forms of meditation, whenever we gain a realization of the topic, abide with it, rest with it. This way, we gain familiarity or habituation to a concentrated mind. This not only serves, then, to strengthen our familiarity with that virtuous mind one was meditating on, but through developing greater concentration, the ripening result in future lives is additionally that we will have less mental distractions. And that greatly will aid our spiritual development. And if we also then add in the cultivation of wisdom, which can be done in different ways, can be done through analytical meditation on a variety of topics, as well as meditating on, say, dependent arising, coming to cultivate the wisdom understanding emptiness, then this not only accrues great virtue, but in our future lives, we'll have greater intelligence and it'll be much easier to engage in more profound levels of, ever more profound levels of analytical meditation, and we will approach the realization of emptiness itself. So understanding then these four practices together with prayer, as well as the benefits that come from meditating on concentration and wisdom, then reflect back to the varying ways that were presented for how to cultivate the four opponent powers. One of them was where the antidotal power was to meditate on the six perfections. And that's what we've just spoken about here. So here I would encourage you, if you're wondering which type of meditation I should engage in, what antidote I should use, I'd encourage you to consider using the six perfections, because here one is explicitly meditating on the four primary causes that lead to a precious human rebirth of ethical restraint, generosity, patience, joyous perseverance. And you can include within this that of placement meditation, as well as meditating on emptiness, thereby all six of the perfections. And prior to that, when one was cultivating the opponent power of the basis, where one first goes to for refuge and then generates bodhicitta, here one meditates on love, compassion, and bodhicitta. And this makes it a meditation not only of the Mahayana, where love, compassion, and bodhicitta is generated, but so too, then in the fourth opponent power, are the six perfections meditated on, from generosity through ethical restraint, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration, and wisdom. And then, having this as a daily meditation, when one concludes, one dedicates the virtue. And within your dedication prayers, you can include the final step, or the final requirement to achieve a precious human rebirth, which is prayer. So in addition to one's dedications, one makes supplications, prayers towards one's Lama, that in all future lives, may I be born wherever you are. May I come under your care directly at a young age, spend my life as your student, receiving teachings and training in my spiritual cultivation, and may I apply myself with great vigor. And as under your guidance, I develop ever greater spiritual qualities, may I live my life of greatest benefit to others too. In this way, fulfill your heartfelt wishes. So this is a particular meditation I'd encourage you to consider engaging in, a particular way to engage in the practice of the four opponent powers. And if one does so, it truly is a remarkable way to live a life of great meaning. If you think, who knows, perhaps you have one in your home. If you think of a dog that is particularly beautiful, so it's a beautiful dog, whomever sees this dog it really likes it. Wow, it's a magnificent dog. And it lives its life with good conditions. It's fed, it's pampered, it's cared for, and it's healthy and strong. Then this rebirth has come about in dependence on causes they've created in the past. In particular, we can think of generosity, because they have such good material conditions, and they've practiced patience well, and hence everyone likes them. This dog is much loved, and it's healthy and strong. But in the past life, the imprint that did not ripen was one of ethical restraint. Hence, the being fell into the lower realms. What did ripen were imprints of generosity and patience, but ethical restraint is missing. So whilst this dog is leading a very comfortable life, it's bound in the lower realms due to the lack of having practiced ethical restraint.
然后你被我们这几米变成了药物，变成了药物，当听见药物时候，有一天，那时候药物凝结，我没水冲那个，有一天，那宿舍上就往他往脖子墙上插完药物药丸，真的是缺了药，原来断了没几根，缺给什么了？给你每天五十块钱呢？我就说，解放我们的，你们出门送我的那米粒给，那这边进不到人家，才得来变成药物吃的，那解放我们全部工把人家才得来送过药物，他没水冲那个，我吃的。
If we think of those in our human world, those who have been, of course, born as humans and have great wealth and comfortable conditions, and whomever meets them likes them and finds them attractive to be with, whether handsome or beautiful or just pleasant to be with, and they also have power and influence in their life. So generally, the kind of life that is aspired to by many people. However, they have no interest in virtue, in Dharma, no interest in Dharma at all. They may or may not be inclined to virtue, but they're not interested in the Buddha Dharma. So this person is experiencing the ripening results of having practiced ethical restraint well, as well as generosity and patience, but not that of joyous perseverance. And due to the lack of experiencing the ripening results of joyous perseverance, they have no interest in the Buddha Dharma, and therefore spiritual progression is greatly impeded. And similarly, if such a person though is inclined to the Dharma, has a great interest in the Dharma and is a virtuous person, but is struggling to connect with a teacher, to meet a teacher, struggling to come into contact with their teacher, this is because they've practiced well in almost all regards in their previous lives. Ethical restraint, generosity, patience, joyous perseverance. But they didn't round off their practices with prayer. They didn't make their supplications to the lamas. May they meet their teachers in the future lives, recognize them as such, come under their care and guidance explicitly, and train well under their care. Lacking that condition, they struggle to come under the care of a teacher in this life. Then If you think of those who are Buddhist practitioners, they've achieved a precious human rebirth and have great interest in the Buddha Dharma, then we know that this is a person who has accumulated all five causes and done so well. But if that person, though, is struggling with their meditation, they're struggling with their analysis and investigation, they're struggling thereby to transform their minds, they find it's difficult to sit in meditation, it's difficult to concentrate in meditation, and when they are meditating, their analysis doesn't go very deep, their investigation remains superficial, then whilst they have achieved developed the required causes of ethical restraint, generosity, patience, joy, perseverance, and prayer, they haven't developed well concentration and wisdom in their past lives. So here when we say they haven't developed concentration well in their past lives, doesn't mean or they needed to have cultivated single points of concentration. Not necessarily that. Rather, they didn't rely well or utilize introspection and mindfulness well in their past lives. And thereby, they don't have the ripening result that in this life, they are able to overcome distraction quite easily and focus on the meditation topic well. So not having relied well on introspection and mindfulness in their past lives, they struggle to meditate effectively in this life. Their minds are very distracted and easily, therefore, to give up their meditation. And similarly, if they are trying to meditate, but their analysis doesn't penetrate the topic well, they're struggling to gain a more profound, transformative understanding of the topic. This is because of a lack of familiarity with the cultivation of wisdom, the cultivation of analysis and investigation, of engaging in analytical meditation in their past lives. So from these various points, I hope it's clear that one needs to cultivate complete causes in order to be able to experience the best of conditions for continued spiritual progression life after life. The reason I've mentioned this now is to highlight the great importance of accumulating all six causes together with prayers, because we are experiencing those results now, and it's imperative we accumulate all six of the causes of ethical restraint, generosity, patience, joy, perseverance, concentration, and wisdom together with stainless prayers, so that we are accumulating the complete causes to ensure we have good rebirth after good rebirth.
che nyamlen che gan kanes yo be na ji cha na da nyamlen che ba le ba she tham che xi xie an ni tun jin ga le gu gu na nyamle ya bu yang le tun jin ya bu cha san cha che tun nyamle ya bu yang wa xiao se shi ma le jie ji xie na de ne ya ma ju ge we za ba de la de ne da zhen bu lin de ya an che da de ne yan bi jie jie an ne na zhe be ji mi mang bu an di ne yan di zhen ma yin ba ji da ne an ne ji ga zhen bu lin de ya mi shi gen da sim chen dun ro ka na chik pe shi he mong bu yo de cha ga an da ni ma wo ba na jie wa ya hu shi le je ani sim sang bo jie da chen yin de jie ko ya bu ra wa shuo zhe mo nan jie da 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 ne yan de ge yu lu shi wa da di men bi ge da na zhe zhen le na le ya mi ga ma ka jie yo ba na lu xin na za da sim ju dun a ga ga yo na cha zang ga ga shi ne cha zang lu da sim cha zang di ge yong wa shuo zhe mo nan jie de an da たまらんというのはちょっと気に入れないだ。参議院選挙戦ばなんじ、パジュン主義にやめんじじ、先陣に言って、シャンで、先に動かせやで、ディギ、ジュビアルや、ペンバチだ、ゼバナジンアーズにね、気に入れない。シャン、先陣に動かせやだ。ディギ、ジュビアルや。あの、じゃあ、キャッチポチとばしょ、せやじ。あの、どうしてもなんじゃじ。あの、チャラブね、チャラブパルド、だ、参議院こば、まとぎパルドはね、シャンでや、ペンバチュやだ。チュイにやめんじじ。
Our time together in this retreat is impermanent. This opportunity now is almost finished. We've been able to hear about a topic of great importance, as well as not only hearing about it, but you've engaged in meditations under the guidance of Venerable Tsepo. So over these few days, you've heard about why it's crucial to purify, and in detail, how to do so, where the imprints are stored, and the in detail on how to eliminate non-virtue and accumulate virtue. So now we come to the end of our time together, so we come to dedicate this vast store of virtue that we've all, as a collective group, have accumulated. The way that I request that you dedicate now, whilst we're not physically together, but we will all dedicate together, is that all this virtue ensure that all sentient beings, without exception, all kind mother sentient beings achieve complete enlightenment as quickly as possible. And that all holy beings in the world who are engaged in directly and indirectly leading beings to the achievement of full enlightenment, such as His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, and all our spiritual teachers across the varying traditions, may they remain stably in this world, enacting their enlightening activities. And may all beings come under their care. And moreover, may all beings develop the causes and experience inner peace. May outer peace prevail throughout all the world systems and prevail the experiences of all beings. May all beings have all the conditions, the material conditions they desire. May they achieve these quickly in accordance with the Dharma. May beings live in comfort, without pain, without difficulty. Wherever there is difficulty and illness in the world, such as the pandemic, whatever pain, such as the pandemic, is being experienced, may we dedicate this merit so it may come to an end. And moreover, may all beings in whatever realm they find themselves in achieve only good rebirths and accumulate the causes. May this merit ensure that they accumulate the causes that bring about the best of rebirths, a rebirth where they quickly at a young age come under the care of a fully qualified Mahayana spiritual friend. Recognize them as such, train under their care and guidance. May all the suffering across all realms come to an end. And from life to life throughout this and all our future lives until enlightenment is achieved, may we never be separated from the perfect Mahayana spiritual friends. Come under their direct care, and with great enthusiasm, receive teachings and put them into practice, cultivate them in our minds with great diligence, and in this way fulfill the heartfelt wishes of our teachers, which is through our spiritual development, turning away from the non-virtue of the afflicted minds, embracing virtuous minds, and acting under the care of their guidance, ease and eliminate the suffering in the world. So thank you very much. Thank you.